This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams. I'm very happy to be with you today. You know, I love to spend this time with you Monday through Friday, always inviting you to join us here live on Women of Grace Live, where we love to have that holy conversation with you, lifting our hearts and our minds to our Lord Jesus Christ, accepting all of the spiritual blessings in the heavens that He wants for us to have, which is every single one of them, opening our hearts to the movement and the grace that the Holy Spirit brings to us, embracing the gift of our Blessed Lady, asking for her maternal beatitude and intercession. It's always a joyous event to be with you. Inviting you to give us a call today. We have Ryan Penny on the phones for us. Jeff Burson is in the saddle there, that he's going to go out and grab your questions that you leave for us out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. I'm available to you on Skype today, giving you a mighty wave. Here, is that mighty? I guess maybe it is. Also, want for you to call 833-288-3986. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way you can join us. 833-288-EWTN is a good way to remember that number. That's 833-288-EWTN. Eager to hear from you right here. Well, I got to tell you, I am fresh back. Yeah, I landed back here in Birmingham, Alabama, just about 8:23 to be precise. I pulled on into the driveway here in my big red truck. I drove back from Lafayette, Louisiana, where I was with the Catholic Charismatic Renewal of New Orleans for their conference. And what a glorious event it was. It was actually not a conference. It was a women's retreat. We had 550, or maybe it was 560 women present there, and a whole lot of St. Joseph's who attended to our needs throughout the whole course of that glorious, glorious experience that we had there in Lafayette, Louisiana. And I want to tell you what, the Holy Spirit came down in power. He certainly did. I just have to tell you, it was just marvelous to see what our Lord was about in His people. And it reminds us of the fact that when we are really open to the movement and the grace that God wants us to receive, God, you know, God is super abundant in His generosity. The grace is always available to us. We simply have to step into the grace. And that's the great reality of it. You see, it takes this act of the will to be able to receive the blessings that God wants us to know. And we do it by way of two virtues, faith and trust. Now, it's an interesting thing about faith and trust. You know, faith and trust, we feel as though, you know, or at least we think that faith and trust is going to rain down upon us like dew drops from the heavens, and suddenly we're going to be faith-filled. Suddenly we are going to be abundantly trusting. Well, there can be singular moments where faith is in a certain way stimulated in us, and that's the gift of faith. But we receive the virtue, the theological virtue of faith at our baptism, and we get it along with hope and along with love at our baptism. And this faith is there. It's there. It's there. It's there. And we can activate that faith through acts of the will, you see? And so this gift of faith that comes, you know, by way of surprise, where suddenly, you know, we're just filled with this faith, that happens sometimes. But even if that never happens, we're not bereft of the opportunity to believe. But there is that cooperation with faith and also with trust that enables that virtue to us to be stirred up and to begin to become efficacious in our lives. So we receive these blessings of the Lord by faith and trust, and faith and trust in these instances is not something that's done to us in a passive sense, but it's something that we engage in the active sense. We move forward in it. We choose to have faith. We choose to trust. We say, I believe. And even if the emotion of belief maybe never is experienced by us, it doesn't mean that we don't believe, because we choose to believe and we act in belief. You see, that's the key. And Lil Trez talks about that. She says, it doesn't really matter if you have courage as long as you act with courage. See that? So it doesn't really matter if you have faith in the sense of the emotion. You've got it by way of the virtue. But in the emotion, as long as you act faithful, you act with faith. as long as you stand in the presence of the Lord and you remind him. You promise us that every spiritual blessing in the heavens is ours, and I'm asking for spiritual blessing to come down upon us, right? And so we move then in the blessing that we believe that we have, that we believe, not because there's a lack of credulity, but that we choose to believe is actually there for us, right? And we act in a faith-filled way. So anyway, all that being said, it was a marvelous weekend. If you were there and you want to share with us about your experience over the course of the weekend, we'd love to hear it, because as you share your experience, you're giving testimony to the power of God and the presence of God. And that does what? It edifies the church. And who is the church? The church are the people of God. And that's all of us right now, right? Listening. So if you share your testimony about the weekend, then what's going to happen is that you are going to be an instrument in the hands of the Lord that stirs up in the hearts of others that gift of faith, pure gift, or activates that theological virtue of faith that was received at baptism. So we look forward to hearing from you. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. 833-288-3986. And we invite you to call us right here or go out to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. When you do go out there, you're going to see the chat feature that's available to you there. And we invite you to put your question, comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement up right there. We'll receive it and we'll get to it right here. There was a little song that we sang over and over again at one particular point at the women's retreat. And it goes like this. He is a way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, our God, he never stops. He never stops. That has been playing in my mind all day. So I want to say it again, and maybe, you know, you can catch on to it and you can say it. And in those moments when it seems as though you're bereft of the presence of God, you can just chant this little refrain, and, you know, it'll do something. It will do something because you'll be acting in faith, you know. He's a way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper. Our God, he never stops. He never stops. He's a way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper. Our God, he never stops. He never stops. Can you say that with me? He's a way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper. Our God, he never stops. He never stops. I just love it. You can tell. We're going to do it one more time. He's a way maker, miracle maker, promise keeper. Our God, he never stops. He never stops. I especially like that last part. I mean, it reminds us of who God is. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper. Those are all realities about our Lord. We identify who he is, our God. But I love this. He never stops. He never stops. I don't know what's going on in your world today, but right now, this God who is waymaker, promise keeper, miracle worker, he's not stopping. He's about it right now. He's pure act, says St. Thomas Aquinas, and he's about the work right now. You step out in faith, say, I believe, I believe, I believe. If you have to stand up and march around, go, I believe, you stand up right now and march around and say, I believe, I believe, I believe. As we go to this break, more on the other side of it when we come back. You're listening to Women of Grace Live. I'm Johnette Williams, happy to be with you today. Give us a buzzeroo, 833-288-EWTN. We're going to be right back. Stay tuned.
Encouraging women in their gift of authentic femininity. Here's more Women of Grace with Johnette Williams.
Welcome back, friends. You are listening to Women of Grace Live, and indeed I am Johnette Williams, and I'm delighted to be with you today, just sharing with you about the Catholic Charismatic Renewal of New Orleans women's retreat that happened in Lafayette, Louisiana this weekend. It was quite a remarkable event. Asking you to call if you were there and give us testimony about it so that we can continue the good work of the Lord and build up the body of Christ as people listen. But we'll take a call about anything that you want to discuss today. We have Melanie from Houma, Louisiana. She is on the line and she's got a testimony. Good morning, Melanie. How are you?
Good morning, Johnette. I'm doing great. I did go to the conference this weekend, and you signed my book, and you are such a happy and wonderful delight. I had such a great time at this conference, and I came home with so much joy and happiness.
I am so glad, Melanie. What struck you the most about it? I mean, was there one moment during that event that where God really spoke to you?
God really spoke to me in the moment on Saturday night in a profound way in forgiveness. When we were singing the songs and praising God on Saturday night, I sat in quietly, and I sat there, as I did, tears just flowed, and I felt like just the Lord's arms being wrapped around me, and I felt just this very burden, heavy burden on my shoulders, just lifted up, and full, complete forgiveness of my past and of things, you know, that I'm ashamed to say I've done, but that I know I've been forgiven for, but I felt a release from that.
Oh, Melanie, what a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful healing of the Lord. And what you're describing here is His mercy. And you give me opportunity to say this to everybody that's listening. There is no sin that is greater than God's mercy. Absolutely no sin. The evil one wants to chain us to those things that we've done in the past. He is the accuser, right? He is the accuser. So he lures us into shameful situations. He lures us into sin. And then he accuses us of it afterwards. And that accusing can become a chain that binds us to that sin and binds that chain to us. And when we receive those healing waters of the sacrament of reconciliation, you know, that the sin is wiped away. But sometimes that tendency to be bound to that sin remains. God wants to free us from that. And you're sharing that with us right now. And you received that. What an abundantly beautiful, beautiful gift you received. And I'm so grateful to God that you shared that with us today, Melanie, because I think that it will help others to understand that there is a burden. It weighs us down. We don't even realize it until it's lifted from our shoulders and lifted from our souls. And then we can begin to breathe with both lungs, so to speak, you know, taking in deep breaths,
yes.
You know?
Amen. So I also wanted to tell you, I'm the lady that spoke with you about being the blue sapphire in the crown of the queen.
Thank you for that.
I just wanted to say you were such a delight, and I really enjoyed all of your exuberance, and it was contagious, so I brought some of your exuberance home with me. So I want to say thank you for being such a vessel of the Holy Spirit and Mary and Jesus Christ.
Thanks, Melanie. And I'll tell you what, you know, let's hope that it's holy zeal, because zeal remains. Enthusiasm wanes, but zeal remains. Thank you. Thank you, sweet daughter of God. And we invite you, too, to give us a call here, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986 is the way that you can join us. Has God done something spectacular in your life, either through this retreat or in any other way in your life? We want to hear about it here, and we also want to pray with you here for your needs. And we've got Jeannie on the line from Dayton, Ohio, listening to us via the EWTN app. Good morning, Jeannie. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good. I was calling to ask for prayer, first of all. I have an 8-year-old home with the flu.
Oh.
And she's pretty miserable. And I, you know, usually you're like, okay, we have a sick child. I kind of struggle with worry and anxiety and things like that, especially about my children. So it's kind of hard for me right now. I'm, you know, she's doing okay. And, you know, she's not in the hospital or anything, of course. But I just would like some prayer for her that she gets through it okay. And I have several other friends who have lots of small children that are also dealing with this. And I just wanted you to offer a prayer for all the moms and dads out there this time of year, dealing with this kind of stuff, and especially if you're the type of person that my prayer every day and my word for the year, I heard you say earlier at the beginning of the year, is trust. So I need to trust, and I need to, you know, I feel God helping me, obviously, but it's still hard. So I struggle with that. And I just wonder if you pray for all of us. And my husband, he is on a course of immunotherapy for a melanoma that they found in the summer that had spread to a lymph node.
Oh.
He is doing very well, and he's taking his immunotherapy. But I always, you know, this time of year, I don't want him to get sick either, and I want him to keep taking his treatments on time. So it's just a stressful, anxious time for our family. And
yes,
I would ask
Jeannie.
For
yeah.
If you have
really
any helpful tips or hints.
Well, you know, as a mom, you know, when our children are sick, we always worry. We would rather have the sickness ourselves than watch them suffer. And it's a cruel reality. And I was one of those moms too, you know, who, you know, my child is sick, and immediately we're off to the doctors. And, you know, I tend tended to worry too. And, you know, and I think it's a beautiful thing that, you know, God entrusts these situations to us because, as you say, you know, your word for the year is trust. So how does he build us in trust? Well, he builds us in trust by giving us opportunities to trust him, right? And so I have a little acronym for trust and also for the fear that's gripping you. That fear that you're experiencing is really a tactic of the evil one. And it's a tactic to cause you not to trust in God. And so how does he do this? He does this by planting a fear in us that is not the emotion of fear that God gives us to warn us that there's impending danger, but it's the kind of fear that he gives us just to knock us off of our horse here, so to speak, and to become a victim of lack of trust and lack of faith, and to tie us up with a morbid anxiety and a morbid kind of worry and concern. And that fear I have a little acronym for that was given to me, and it's false evidence appearing real. False evidence appearing real, F-E-A-R. So Jesus says in sacred scripture, fear is useless. And the kind of fear that he's talking about is that. He's talking about the tactic of the enemy to take natural circumstances and conditions and to trump them up in such a way that they become, you know, this looming disaster that's immediately present. And we begin to respond to that delusion as opposed to the truth of the reality. So when Jesus says, fear is useless, what is needed is trust, he's talking about that fear. It's false evidence appearing real, right? Now, he says fear is useless, what is needed is trust. So what is trust? This is my little acronym for trust. True resolve under severe testing. True resolve under severe testing. Now, what are we truly resolving to? We're truly resolving to the fact that God is a good God, that God blesses us, that there is nothing that has power over us except the very grace of God if we choose to let that be the power in our life. It is true resolve. It means standing firm in the realities of sacred scripture, standing firm in the teachings of the church, standing firm when it seems as though all hell is breaking loose around us, standing firm. So it's true resolve under severe testing. The test is a strong one because God is permitting the evil one to poke his horrible hoof in the area where we are most vulnerable. But God wants to work a good out of that provoking. So he gives the evil one permission to provoke us there because he wants for us to grow in this true resolve, which is trust, right? So how do we grow in trust when we're feeling as though everything is out of order, that everything is chaotic, that everything is disastrous? How do we practice that? How do we gain control? We gain control by resisting the devil. And what is the way that Jesus gave us to resist the devil? By his own example, when he was in the desert prior to his public ministry, he used sacred scripture. So we resist the devil by using sacred scripture. Like this: stronger is he who is in me than he who is in the world. For God works all things to the good for those who are called according to his purpose. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And sometimes we just have to have some of these passages committed to memory, but we can look them up online. You can look up, you know, scripture passages on trust, and you can just sit there, have them at the ready, and just start reading them, professing them, saying them out loud. There's a power in the word of God when we proclaim the word of God. That's why we proclaim it at the Mass. We don't, the instruction is not, well, now sit there and read. No, we proclaim it. There is a power. There's a creative force that occurs when we proclaim sacred scripture. So in a sense, that which is already there becomes apparent to us. God's grace is already there. But when we proclaim the word of God, it becomes apparent to us and we walk in the victory of it. And pray over your daughter. daughter, lay hands on her, pray over her, you know, and just any prayer, just say to your little girl, you know, okay, so now mommy's going to lay her hand on your forehead here, and she's going to pray a Hail Mary with you right now. We're going to ask our Blessed Mother to come with her spouse, the Holy Spirit, and to bring you comfort and solace, okay? This is what we're going to do. And pray that Hail Mary. Pray the Our Father. Pray the Glory Be. Pray whatever prayer comes into your mind, or pray a spontaneous prayer. Father God, here I am with my little girl, and you see that Susie is suffering with this flu, but we know that you are greater than this flu and that you have spiritual blessings in the heaven for her. And so we ask, Father God, that you would pour out these blessings upon her right now, and that you would make them effective in her life right now. I pray, Lord God, that she would be healed of this flu, that she would experience a release from all of its effects, that she would soon be up and running and playing and being joyful before you. And even now I pray that that gift of joy breaks out in her heart. And we pray this prayer, Father God, in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the merits of his cross, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and with the maternal beatitude and intercession. Amen. Don't forget, Jeannie, that you have authority as the mother in this house, not just the biological mother, but the spiritual mother too. You have an authority that you share with your husband. He is head of the household, but you is heart of the home. You have an authority to pray. And you have an authority to call down those graces and those blessings into the life of your children. And it's good for you to pray with them. So that's what I would recommend. And we're going to let that little prayer that I prayed right now be a prayer that we now offer to you, Father God, on behalf of Jeannie's little girl, and on behalf of all of the moms out there who have sick children right now, and for the benefit and the well-being of those sick children. And Father God, we would just ask now that you would put a hedge of grace around Jeannie's daughter, and a hedge of grace around every child who is sick and suffering, no matter what they're sick with, whether it be the flu, whether it be a virus, whether it be a cold, whether it be some other type of sickness, whether it be, we pray for all of the children right now who are in various hospitals throughout the United States of America and beyond. We pray for all of the children that are sick and suffering right now. We ask that you would put a hedge of grace around them, that the evil one's tactics and his horrible desires for them would perish, that it would not be able to penetrate this hedge of grace. Father God, we call down healing blessings upon all of these children. We ask that through the power of the Holy Spirit, they would be freed from all disabilities, from all illnesses, from all side effects of medication. We ask that they would be freed completely and totally, Lord God. We stand in this prayer in union with the sacrifice of the cross of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. We stand in his name. We stand under the power of the Holy Spirit. We stand with the maternal beatitude and intercession of our Blessed Lady. We ask that you would bring healing to these children, that this hedge of grace would allow this grace to penetrate into their little bodies, into every cell of their being, Lord God, that they would be freed up, Lord God, from all of these machinations of the evil one. We pray for all of the parents involved, Lord God, that you would replace their worry with trust, that you would replace their concern with faith. We ask that you would replace their weaknesses with strength. We ask that you would give them a supernaturalized indication of your power and strength within them. We ask that you would protect them from any illness that they might receive in taking care of their little ones that comes through fatigue. We pray also for Jeannie's husband, for this immunotherapy that he is on for this melanoma. We ask, Lord God, that this immunotherapy would be a tool, an instrument in your hands that brings him to the fullness of life in you. We ask that this weapon that the evil one seeks to forge against him would be rendered absolutely null, void. We ask that it would not prosper against him. Father God, we would ask that you would supernaturalize the effects of this immunotherapy. We ask that all cancer would be taken from his body. We ask that his cells would begin to act normally. We ask that they would that the metabolic activity that is responsible for any of this cancer would be laid fallow. We ask that it would be subsumed by your healing graces, that it would be sublimated to that. We ask, Lord God, that the heel of Our Lady would crush it. We ask that the heel of Our Lady would crush it. We ask that the heel of Our Lady would crush it in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ by the merits of his cross through the power of the Holy Spirit and with the maternal beatitude and intercession of our Blessed Lady in Jesus' name. Amen. Be it done according to your will, Lord. Be it done according to your will. Be it done according to your will. Be it done according to your ultimate victory over evil, Lord. We pray this in the name of your Son, Lord God. We stand firm on the reality that what we ask for in his name, you will do. Sacred Scripture tells us that. We do not permit ourselves to become victim to worry, to concern, to an unhealthy consumption of our energies by the vitality of this cancer of the soul that would seek to remove from us, that would seek to paralyze our trust and our faith in you. We come against that spirit, that lying, deceitful spirit, Father God, in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And we offer this to you, Lord Jesus. As an oblation in union with your sufferings on the cross. And we thank you. And for the period of time that the cross remains, may this not be lacking in profound blessing. May we unite it to your cross that it might become an instrument that brings healing and hope and new life to so very many people. We thank you, Lord, for this gift of divine life that you give to us. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to pray for Jeannie, for her family, for all of those little children that are unwell at this period of time, for all of those moms and dads that attend to them. Oh, we also pray for wisdom for all of those doctors. We pray for a supernaturalized effect upon the natural gifts and talents that you've given to them. We pray that you would infuse their intellect with words of knowledge, with wisdom on how to conduct their care of these children. And we also ask, Blessed Mary, that you would take all of them now and put your mantle, your maternal mantle about them. We ask that you would incorporate Jeannie and her husband in that mantle and all of the parents of these other children. We ask for wholeness and health in all regards. We pray this again in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, by the merits of his cross, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and with the maternal beatitude and intercession of our Blessed Lady. Amen and hallelujah. Jeannie, thank you for the opportunity to pray. You bless me by it. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank
You're welcome,
you.
Darling. Bye-bye. God bless you. Walk in faith. Walk in trust, right?
Thank you. I will.
Our God never
will.
Stops. Okay. He never stops. Bye-bye now. You hear that music? We're coming back. Anne Marie is with us from Louisiana. We're looking forward to your call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. All right? We're going to be right back with you, inviting you to stay tuned to Women of Grace Live. I'm Jeanette Williams.
Transforming the world one woman at a time. Let's return to Women of Grace with Jeanette Williams.
Well, welcome back, friends. We are so happy to be with you today as we discuss issues of importance to your life and to your faith. We're inviting you to give us a call. I am asking how it is that God has shown up in your life lately. Just came back from a beautiful women's retreat in Lafayette, Louisiana, and lots of ladies received abundant blessings there. So I'm inviting you, if you received a blessing at the retreat this past weekend, give us a call, because what you share will edify somebody else and they will share in the blessings that we received. But we're taking your calls on anything else that you want to talk about right now. What a beautiful opportunity it is for us to come together, use the airwaves for the greater honor and glory of God. Let's get right to these phone lines. We've got Anne Marie on the phone with us. She is listening to us via Catholic Community Radio. She's a first-time caller. That's for you, Anne Marie, because you're a first-time caller. How are you today?
Hi, Jeanette. I'm great.
Good.
Everything Melanie said about you and more. I ditto what she said. The conference was amazing.
Oh,
it was
I'm
my
glad.
First women's retreat.
Really? It was your first one? Anne Marie, I talked with you, didn't I?
Yes, yes. I was one of the last people you signed my book.
Yes, indeed. I remember that.
You remember me?
Yes, of course I do. So
well,
what was the great...
Okay, so I've gone to retreats and I've gone to healing masses, and I got a little of the Holy Spirit, but I could never get that breakthrough, and I just couldn't figure out why. So after we prayed with the St. Chapelle relic, I just went over to the chapel and just laid in front of the Blessed Sacrament and said, Lord, show me what it is that's blocking me. I can't think of anyone who I need to forgive. We talked about forgiveness, remember? And I couldn't think of anybody. There was nobody I hated, nobody I held a grudge against. And then he gently showed me that it was me.
Oh, my goodness.
I couldn't forgive myself.
Oh.
When I was 10 years old, I was not able to protect my baby sister. And I've held that against myself all my life.
Oh, Anne Marie.
I cried and cried and cried.
Oh, darling.
And that night, he gave me a new heart. It was so beautiful.
Oh, Anne Marie. Our God is so gracious, honey. And he does not want for us to be chained, as I was sharing earlier today. He doesn't want us to be chained to those situations that occurred in the past. You were a little girl yourself. How could you?
I couldn't even.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. I just never thought that I was the person I needed to forgive.
Yeah, of course.
It was self-hatred.
Hmm. You know, you bring up something that I think is very, very important for us, that, you know, this God is aware of all things. He knows everything. And, you know, he wants for us to be freed up from all of these situations and circumstances of our past lives, all of the ways in which we hold ourselves responsible for situations over which we had no control. Certainly there are times when we are responsible for things, but the evil one will take times where the responsibility is not ours, or we're incapable of changing the circumstance, and will seek to hold us accountable for that circumstance, because he cannot tolerate us experiencing the profound blessings of God that God wants for us to experience. Now, this God of ours is so tender, Anne Marie, so tender, that he knows precisely the right moment in time when this healing should come. Very frequently in our lives, when we have situations like this, you know, we've repressed them, or we've built up so many defense mechanisms around them that for a system of life in some ways, really, that if he were to come in and he dismantled all of that at one time, our psyche, our mental capacity, you know, our emotional reality wouldn't be able to tolerate that kind of a change. Picture it this way. We've been in darkness, and picture yourself in a very, very dark room, and somebody comes in and they turn on the brightest of all bright lights. Our eyes can't adjust to that. It hurts. It hurts. We close our eyes. So what this Lord does, this area that needs to be healed within our heart, you picture that as the darkness. What he does is he very gradually begins to let the light seep in a way that does not cause us pain, that doesn't encumber our emotional stability. He lets it in a wee bit at a time. And then when he knows that we can take the full illumination, which is what happened to you on Saturday evening, that full illumination where you can see what this travail of your heart's been, and this burden that you've had, when he knows that you are ready, he reveals it so that you can then receive his grace to have it lifted off of you. And those tears that you shed, that weight that was lifted, that beautiful way in which you were docile to the movement of the Holy Spirit in that moment, that has that was your fiat. That was your yes, Lord. You know, I surrender this to you, Lord. And now you walk in the peace of it. You walk in the grace of it. You walk in the absolute thanksgiving to God of it, right? And I'm so happy for you, darling. I am so very happy for you.
I got a new heart, and it's 10 years old.
Well,
it's over.
Yeah, and you know what? Just another little thing that I want to share with you. When we've experienced a traumatic event, and that traumatic event goes, unreconciled, right? You know, oftentimes there's an emotional stunting that occurs at that age. So when you say, you know, you've got a new heart, it's 10 years old, It's not the entirety of your heart. It's that one little portion of your heart, that one little portion of your heart that may have been, not saying it was, that may have been locked into a 10-year-old perspective of life, a 10-year-old understanding, a 10-year-old emotional response. And so what's going to happen now, I love our God so much. What's going to happen now is he's going to begin to act in that 10-year-old little part of your heart, if in fact that has existed, and he's going to begin a maturation process for it. The rest of the heart, you know, grown up heart, but this little area, he's going to begin a maturation process for it, so that ways in which you've acted out of that wound without even knowing it's there, ways in which you've acted out of that that perception that you didn't even know you had, ways in which you acted out of that sense of guilt, which was not apparent to you, he is going to begin this process. So you're going to begin to notice in your natural life, you know, your daily actions, your interactions with others, the way in which you respond to certain situations, that which upset you in the past will no longer upset you. You're going to begin to notice a change in that, because you will, that healing, that growing that's going on there, is going to become the mature Anne Marie, as opposed to the little 10-year-old Anne Marie. And it's going to be glorious. It's going to be glorious for you to, and every occasion that you recognize that, you're going to be able to rejoice in the Lord. You're going to be able to praise Him. You're going to be able to thank Him. It's going to be so good. I'm so excited for you.
I'm so full of joy. And I love how you started the show, because that song was playing in my mind too all morning.
I know.
That song. But I want to tell you one more thing that I've been doing all day.
Yes.
Mary, pass in front and stomp the head of the devil.
Crush the head of the devil.
Mary,
yeah, that, and we'll, yeah. Let's let our listeners in on this. Patty Mansfield shared with us an experience that she had with a priest in Brazil, and it was a very real experience of the evil one, and he was given this, and it's become something that's become very popular in Brazil. They're even writing songs about it, she said, and we said it all weekend, you know, Mary, pass in front and crush the head of the devil. And when you say crush, what do? You stomp your heel, right? Mary, pass in front and crush the head of the devil. Mary, pass in front and crush the head of the devil. So we, Anne Marie and I, want to encourage all of you right now, whatever the travail is in your life that you're experiencing, whatever is going on there, right? wherever the devil is manifesting himself, whether it's through illness or broken relationships or lack of forgiveness or contradictions in your life or financial problems or, you know, a mess in the situation of your job or your profession, whatever it is, you say this with us and we'll say it together with them. Okay, are you ready, Anne Marie?
I'm ready.
Okay, on three, all of you say this with Anne Marie and I. Mary, pass in front.
Pass in front and
crush the head of the devil. Right, and then remember, he is a way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, our God, our God. He never stops. He never stops.
And even when we don't see it, he's still working.
That's exactly right. He is still working. And so, you know, what does it say in Scripture, right? We walk by faith and not by sight. Right? We walk by faith and not by sight, not by the false evidence appearing real that the evil one inflicts on us, but rather we walk by faith. We walk in
faith.
Trust, true resolve under severe testing. Anne Marie, you are precious. I love you in Jesus. I pray abundant blessings on you.
Thank you, Jeanette.
You're welcome.
I hope I get to see you again.
Well, you will.
Your next conference.
Next conference. You can come to our Women of Grace retreat up in Malvern, Pennsylvania this summer. We've got the information out there on our website, womenofgrace.com. Thanks, Anne Marie, for your phone call. And, you know, God bless you, darling. And you know, this is what I mean. You see, somebody has an experience, but it pertains to us as well in some way. And this is the way the Lord wants to edify us. This is why he places us in community. So this was a particular event that happened this weekend, but it doesn't mean that the blessings and the graces are locked into that event. That isn't how God works. He wants to spread them. And how does he spread them? He spreads them through each one of us. Now, we've got a very, very special prayer that we're going to pray. And we're going to call upon our Blessed Lady, this Mary, you know, who is going to crush the head of this serpent. We're going to walk by faith and not, we're going to walk by faith. And we're going to walk blindly by faith. We have Betsy, who contacted us. She's in Denver, Colorado. She is with us on the EWTN app. Betsy, we're here for you, honey. She just called in asking for urgent prayer for her brother. And her brother has been missing for the past 24 hours. It's an extremely unusual situation, and no one who normally sees him knows where he is yet. So she's asking for prayer that her brother Eric, who has been missing, will be found and that he will be okay. And she's asking for prayer for herself and for her parents, who are very distraught and anxious. And of course, that would be the case, right? So we just come before you now, Father God. We're walking by faith and not by sight. No one has seen Eric typically sees him, but somebody has seen Eric, Father God. And Eric knows where Eric is right now, Father God. And so it is that we stand in faith, we stand in trust, not by the false evidence appearing real, but we stand in faith, we stand in trust that Eric is well, that he will be found, that someone will hear this broadcast right this very moment who knows Eric and says that this person has seen Eric. We ask, Father God, that you will reveal in the light what's been hidden in the darkness, that this darkness of Eric's appearance would give way to the light of truth, that he might be seen, Father God, that he might be well. We pray for Betsy. We pray for her parents. We pray for all of those who are worried and concerned about Eric. We ask you that you would buoy them up with confidence in you, that you would give them the gift of trust, that they would stand in true resolve under this severe testing. We ask you, Mary, our mother, to put your mantle of grace around Eric, that you would protect him from make him invisible to the eyes of the enemy. We ask, Mother, that you would usher him home underneath that precious mantle of yours. I see and I have an image, Betsy, of our Blessed Lady's mantle being extended, and just as a mother would take a child underneath her coat to protect that child from the cold, I see our Blessed Lady taking her mantle and taking Eric and putting it around him. And then I see her walking very quickly, ushering him home. And we ask, Mary, that this would be the case and that this would be happening, that he will show up, that he will be well. I ask if it's time for authorities to be called in, that they would be successful in their search of him. I ask, Father God, that there would be now a hedge of grace. I'm going to pray that same hedge of grace around this family, this hedge of grace around Eric, that no weapon of the enemy forged against him will prosper, that all will be resolved happily and joyfully in you. We offer you this prayer in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the merits of his cross, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and with the maternal beatitude and intercession of our Blessed Mother. In Jesus' holy name, we do pray. Amen and
Jeanette,
hallelujah. Yes.
This is your producer, Jeff. Ryan just let us know that he was found.
Oh, praise be to God. Thank you, Jesus.
So,
thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
God is good that this has happened as quickly as that.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, my goodness. I have goosebumps. Friends, you know, in some way, we have participated in the work of God. And I want to remind you that prayers that are prayed in time are not locked into time. God exists outside of time and space. Our prayers for Eric, God some way incorporated into his plan for Eric to be found. And we've had the great opportunity of seeing God at work. Now, if this doesn't buoy up your faith, I don't know what will. If this doesn't cause us to stand in that surety of firm ground that God wants us to be firm in, I don't know what will. You see, God wants to work wonders in our lives. Our God is always about the action of being a way maker, always about the action of being a miracle worker, always about the action of being a promise keeper. He never stops. He never stops. And if he's done this for Eric, he will do it for you. If he's healing Jeannie's daughter right now, he's healing you. If Anne Marie received this great healing in her life at this beautiful, blessed event, then he wants to heal you too. Why do you think you heard Jeannie's plea or Anne Marie's plea or Betsy's plea? Why did you hear, Melanie's testimony? Why did you hear any of this? You heard it because God wants you to be certain of his love for you, of his provision for you, of what it is that he wants to do in your life. He wants for you to stand on the firm rock who is his son, our Lord Jesus Christ. He wants for you to have hope. He wants for you to have trust. He wants for you to have confidence. He wants for you to have strength. And forever, for whatever period of time that the cross is entrusted for you, he wants to grow you in these virtues. So these times are not cursed. These times are blessing. These times are not cursed. These times are blessing because God is offering you opportunity to grow in his grace. Do you see? Do you understand? He wants for you to become a reservoir of all of his God-like beatitude. He wants for you to retain within the confines of your own heart, in the confines of your own soul, all of those spiritual blessings of the heavens, that you might become a dispenser of them in the world, that you might then become this font of mercy, his font of mercy in the world today. You know, he wants for you to be a conduit of his divine life. And the only way that that happens is by us learning to trust in him, that we then might help others to trust him as well. We're going to go to Rachel. She is in Houston, Texas. Guadalupe Radio Network is the way that she's with us. Good morning, Rachel. How are you?
Good morning, Jenna. I'm doing well. Thank you so much.
You are welcome so much.
Thank you. Yes, I did not get a chance to go to the retreat, but God's been working in our lives for a few years now, very, very rampantly and very blessedly. We read our way into the church in 2016. We became confirmed and then had two babies soon after who were baptized, very quickly. And we've been just so blessed with learning and growing in the faith. I do want to ask though, since you're such a woman of God, how can I encourage my husband to be a spiritual leader without nagging him or pushing him too hard?
Well, Rachel, thank you very, very much for your call today. And you're not alone in this. I think that many women want for their husbands to be the spiritual leaders of their homes because that is their rightful place. And that is their authority. And that is it coming into the fullness of their masculinity in Christ Jesus. So men, you know, have many charisms, but three of the most that are, I think, most readily seen in sacred scripture and certainly demonstrated by Saint Joseph, would be these: protection, provision, and leadership. So the man is called to lead his family. The wife's call is to be the heart of the home. The husband's job is to be the head of the household. And I don't mean this in a domineering way. Women shirk when I say those words, but they're scriptural words. And when it says submissive to your husbands, it doesn't mean a submissiveness in which you are beneath your husband. It means operating in your own authority and operating in your own power, through the leadership and the guidance of your husband's, charisms of grace. So this is a right and proper desire for you to have. But many men shirk from this as well. And why do they shirk from it? Because they don't know what that means and they don't understand it. And maybe they were not raised in a home where that was modeled. Maybe the mother was the one who was the spiritual leader by default. And many women today are the spiritual leaders by default. But what we have to be are encouragers of our husband. And we do this without nagging. And you're smart to recognize that there is a difference between nagging and encouraging, nagging and affirming. And so the way in which we do this is not maybe a frontal kind of methodology, right? The way that we do this is by affirming him in his masculinity. So, you know, calling attention to the things that he does when he is leading, saying things, you know, I really appreciated your advice on that. You know, I asked for your advice. You gave it to me. I really appreciated it. I took that advice. This has worked out well for me. Or, I remember once when you helped me out with something like this, I've got something similar going on. Can you show me, do you have any insights for me on this? You know, encouraging in that way, protecting you. I was really in distress over this, and I just really felt your husbandly protection when you told me everything was going to be all right. Yes. You know, it was like a warm blanket on my shoulders. Or you say to him, yes. I know that you went out of your way to sacrifice to do thus and such for us as family, and that provision, is not lost on me. I'm so grateful. So you encourage him in his masculinity, and then gradually you can begin to ask him questions about, especially in light of his advice and counsel on things. I'm going through this right now, or, my friend Linda really aggravated me the other day, and I don't quite know how to make it right. Can you give me some spiritual wisdom on this? What do you think? Just those kinds of things. And you're not doing this in a way that is flattering or is a platitude. You're doing it because you believe in him in these ways. When he sees you believe in him in these ways, that confidence, that interior confidence will come, I think.
That's wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Johnette. You are such a wise woman.
Well, I've lived through it, so I'm only sharing with you what I've learned. So it's not my wisdom. It's really the wisdom of God to guide us through these moments when we really need to know how to be that woman of grace that God desires we be within the confines of our own family. Philomena, I'm sorry I can't get to your call today, but I'm going to invite you to call us again, and we'll get to your call. Friends, it's been great being with you today. We love spending this time with you Monday through Friday as we discuss issues of importance in your life and faith. Remember, our God is a way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper. Our God, he never stops. God bless you. Bye-bye now.